WQST. This is Mike, WB6CLZ, acting as net control for the Tech Tuesday Net at 1900 hours local time, 0200 hours Zulu time, on the Big BARC repeater, 147.33 megahertz, offset of 600 kilohertz, and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communications. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call WB6CLZ. Hearing none, that's a good thing. Are there any bulletins, announcements for the net? Please call WB6CLZ. I have a quick bulletin. As you can see, I'm doing the net again. Tom is taking advantage of a day of clear weather to continue moving, so he wanted me to take over one more time, and hopefully we'll get the master back next time, and you guys will get your money's worth. So anyway, you're stuck with me tonight, but, you know, we're going to amble through it, and we're going to do what we can, guys. Okay, one more time. Any bulletins or announcements? This is WB6CLZ.
AD6PL.
Go ahead, Harold, 86PL. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to put out the information for people that are interested that this next Saturday, the 26th, is the Riverside Air Show. That's Riverside Airport. And the local club here in Riverside will have a booth there in case you want to stop by and talk. And come over and enjoy it. It's family friendly, a lot of fun, no problems, no drugs, no alcohol. And they hardly ever even have an arrest over there. 86 people.
Thanks, Harold. Appreciate that. Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. I always like those ham radio booths. I always like to play with their CW keys. Any other announcements for the net before I continue? Please call WB6CLZ. Okay, well, our topic for the evening is I've been researching various commercial, which is a Cushcraft brand, 2-meter Yagi antennas. And we're going to kind of do a comparison between retail pricing versus the effectiveness of antennas in S units. In other words, if you pay $10 for an antenna, what are you going to get out of it? If you pay $300 for an antenna, what kind of gain are you going to get out of it? What's it going to sound like on the other end? I picked Cushcraft. It's a basic middle-of-the-road antenna. There's a lot better, and, you know, you can make them yourself for a lot cheaper. But I do have a little four-element Cushcraft up here just below the disc cone at about 40 feet, and it's mounted horizontal for sideband. And we use it occasionally. It's not a great high-gain antenna. You know, I think the gain of the thing is, it's 10. They say it is 10.2 dB gains over an isotropic. So that's what Cushcraft claims. Anyway, so we're going to go from there. Okay, I'm not going to call a roster tonight. I don't have the list, and when Tom gets back aboard, we'll do that. We'll take check-ins, but for now, we're just going to oversimplify it tonight. So anyway, regarding DX report, well, I haven't had a lot of time to get on and play around on HF. Other things have been keeping me busy, but I did check out... I did check out spaceweather.com today, and I guess we've got a big sunspot that may be on the horizon. So we may get some interesting things coming out of that. Keep your eyes on Space Weather when you get a chance. Go over and log in on that and see what's going on. We're down to about 30 sunspots last time I checked. So, you know, propagation isn't that great. Not like it was several weeks ago when we had up to like about 130. That was kind of cool. So anyway, hopefully things will get a little bit better. And for now, we're just kind of treading water, waiting for cycle 24 to take hold and really give us some good HF propagation. Okay, so let's go on with our antennas. Well, basically, what we're going to do is we're going to reference HRO retail prices, and we're going to start out with a 2-meter Yagi. It's a 3-element, and it's a Cushcraft A148-3S. They run about $67. That's the current price. And that antenna will give you about 7.8 dB gain. That should give you just a little over 1S unit, on your meter. So if you had a regular vertical antenna up on your mast, and you put this antenna up using the same coax, using everything, you should notice at the other end about 1S unit gain over what you were getting before. The next one we're going to talk about is a little 4-element Cushcraft. Those things run about $110, current price. That's an A124 and WB because they're wide-banded. And that gives you almost 1.5 dB gain. Almost 1.5 times the gain. It's about 10.2 dB. So that would give you about 1.5 S units better than you would have if you had just a regular vertical or dipole antenna or, you know, a ground plane, something like that. WB6CLZ, Acting Net Control for the Tech Tuesday Net. Now we're getting into the boomers, they call them. And we're talking about a 10-element. They run about $140. The Cushcraft number at HRO is A14810S. And those things have about a 12-foot boom. So we're getting to longer booms on these antennas. They're rating that as a 13.2 dB gain. So that's a little more than 2S units you would be getting over like a ground plane. Then we're going to talk about a 13-element. They run about $240. Their number is 13B2. And that thing has about a 15-foot boom. So we're getting up there to where they're getting a pretty long boom on the antenna, and you've got to have some support to keep that from going haywire in the wind. They're saying that that has a 15.8 dB gain over an isotropic. That basically will give you a little, about 2.3 S units, basically over your ground plane antenna. So if you're in a fringe area, if you need to get into the repeater, you'd put that thing up in the vertical configuration to match the vertical antenna on the repeater, and that would give you a signal that sounds 2.3 S units stronger than what you would over your little vertical or your dipole antenna. And the last one we're going to talk about is the big guy. This is a 17-element. It's $370. That's a 17B2 Cushcraft. That thing has got a 31-foot boom. So, I mean, we're getting a very long boom on that thing. You need a little bit better rotator to turn that thing around. That's commonly between the 13-element and the 17-element. A lot of those are used in moon bounce. They're used in tropospheric scatter. A lot of long-range sideband on 2 meters, and they can stack those, commonly stacked twos or fours, six or eight of those antennas together, and it gives you quite a bit of gain. Put an amplifier on that, and you can do some EME work, all kinds of interesting things with those bigger antennas. That particular one, the 17-element, will give you a 18 dB gain, which is about exactly 3S units, which gives you a little bit better signal, especially if you add an amplifier to that, too. See if I've generated any questions. I know there's somebody out there that may be wondering, what the world is he talking about? We've talked about beam antennas, about Yagi antennas before here on Tech Tuesday. Basically, what they do is they focus the power so it amplifies your signal in that way. Basically, you have the same power coming out, but it's focused into a narrower area. So it actually acts as, if you're looking down the throat of the antenna, if the antenna is pointed towards the receiving station, it'll actually give you a gain as far as your S-meter is concerned. So I'm going to open it up now for any questions or comments. Please call me, WB6CLZ, and the name is Mike.
KJ6KDL.
Thanks, Jim. I thought we had dead air. It didn't generate any interest at all. Yeah, Jim, go ahead.
Hey, I'm pulling up those antennas and looking at them as you're going. I'm using a different site, but that's okay. I noticed the four element, the 124WB, is listed as a gain of 10.2 dBi. And then the A148 is 13.2 dBi. And then when I got to the 13B2, it says the gain is 15.8 dBd. And then the 17 element is 18 dBd. What's up?
Okay, Jim, I'm glad you asked. Well, dBi is dB gain over an isotropic and an antenna. Now, an isotropic antenna is an imaginary antenna. They don't really exist. You can't buy one. You can't go out and go to HR and say, hey, I want to buy myself an isotropic antenna. Basically, that is an antenna with a gain of, with a zero gain. It is just a dipole. It is a 360 degree antenna that radiates equally in all directions. Now, when you're talking about a dipole for an isotropic, that has an effective gain of 2.14 dB over an isotropic. So when they talk about dBi, that is basically 2.14 dB difference than the gain of a dipole.
Okay, yeah, they're using different ratings, so it looks like these other antennas, the larger ones actually do better than I thought, because the smaller ones are listing a dBi instead of a dBd, and so they look like they're performing better.
Is correct, and a lot of your antenna manufacturers will do that. It makes them look a little hotter than what they are. But yeah, the bigger ones, they actually give you an actual gain over a dipole, which gives you a better idea of what you're actually getting.
Okay, I hope that gets some more people asking questions. Thank you, KJ6KDL.
Come again with your call and your name, please.
Hey, Mike, it's KA6ROD, Rod. I just have a quick question.
Hey, Rod, hopefully I can answer it for you. Go ahead.
Well, it seems simple enough, but I just don't understand. I don't know it. How do you relate the gain you're getting on the antenna to the distance that it might be going? Because if you're trying to go further, like, the only reason I could see getting the Yagi is to get further distance. Is there an equation or something for gain to distance?
Well, Rod, I'm sure there is, but we're going to have to table that one until Tom gets back, unless we can get Jim to Google that and find that equation. Yeah, I'm sure there is somewhere. Basically, though, the difference is, you know, on a Yagi antenna, it's directional. So we've got to have that antenna pointed right at the station to achieve that gain. You know, we will see if we can come up with that formula so we can give you an actual true answer on that. But I'm really not sure of that, Rod. Did that help you, though, any at all as far as the the directionality of a Yagi? I'm sure you probably already knew that.
Yeah, I just was thinking, for me, the only reason I would get one is if I was trying to reach somebody further, maybe, or something that wasn't picking me up on a dipole or something. So, and then I was thinking, well, maybe there's a equation, but I looked real quick on the net, but I didn't see it. But so we'll just keep it on the side. Thanks, KA6ROD. KAF6Q.
Ah, there's our savior. Hey, Tom, how you doing? KF6Q, WB6CLZ. Go ahead.
Hey, Mike. Just caught part of that. I'm loading up stuff here, and like I said, I wasn't really going to be able to participate. Could you please repeat the question real quick?
Go ahead and repeat the question to Tom. That way he can get it right from the horse's mouth.
Okay, Tom. Hi. The only reason I was thinking about maybe getting a directional antenna is if somebody can't hear me that's further away and I want to reach them. So I was wondering if there was an equation or a way to figure out how much dB gain I would need to go a certain distance. So gain to distance equation. Okay, 6RD.
Yeah, KF6Q here. The best thing to do would be to do some testing of how far away they are with an Omni. And then I think I overheard Mike quoting some figures there on dB gain of the Yagis. And the main benefit of a Yagi is that you get directionality. You can get a high gain factor with a thing called a collinear, which is omnidirectional and high gain. But most people just go with a Yagi. However, now you need a rotor, a rotator. So I'll email you when I get back up on the hill and get you some more information on that. So I can help you out with that. KF6Q.
Romeo Delta.
Romeo Delta, come back with your full call and your name, please. And thank you, Tom. I appreciate that.
Good evening, one and all on the net. This is November Quebec 7, Romeo Delta, Rick and Corona. Just something about the dB. Power-wise also, isn't it for every 3 dBd gain, you almost seem to have doubled your power? So if you're putting out 5 watts on a dipole, you get a 3 dB increase antenna, you'll equivalently be the same as putting out 10 watts. Is that another factor for dBs if you're increments of 3 and Q7RD?
That's the way I understand it. Tom, are you still in there and you can confirm that?
Roger that. And hey, how you doing there, Rick? I'm not too far from you, actually, right over here in Miraloma. Loading up some stuff. Essentially the dB is a reference, a ratio. 3 dB is double, 6 dB is 4, and 9 dB is 8. Anyway, times the power, and that's the best way to think of it, and in the same terms of the antenna. So that'll do you both ways there on the power going out and receiving coming in. So, yeah, good point there, Rick. KF6Q.
Rick, thanks a lot for that comment. Really appreciate it. Thanks again, Tom. I appreciate that. You saved me. Anybody else have any questions or comments? Please call WV6CLZ.
KJ6KDL.
Jim?
Now, without getting into math numbers, just giving a thought process, if you have an omnidirectional antenna and you know how far you can transmit, pick some mileage and use that. If you get a directional antenna, you'll notice they'll give you a radiation pattern. And just say for hypothetical sake, that the directional antenna has a width spread of 25 degrees instead of 180, that's an eight-time increase in power focused in that shorter direction. You're taking all your power and focusing it in 1/8 the width. Maybe it's 22.5, sorry, not 25. But you're taking your power and focusing it in that smaller 1/8 bandwidth. So you're effectively increasing your power capability in that small range by a factor of 8, then if you get a higher gain antenna, that gives you, like, say, a 9 dB gain antenna, that would give you 8 on top of that, you could effectively transmit with what appears to be 16 times more power than having a non-gain antenna, and you're an omnidirectional. So most antennas have 8 gain to them, except for maybe those rubber ducks that come on the handhelds. So if you have a 5-watt handheld and you get a really high gain directional antenna, you could be transmitting with what appears to be somebody with an omnidirectional antenna transmitting with 40 or 50 watts. If I, you know, without doing the actual math, that's the general thought process. If I'm not off, KJ6KDL.
KF6Q on that.
Go ahead, Tom, correct me.
Let's hand it to Mike first.
Hey, Tom.
Jim, you're correct, but that's actually how the Yagis acquire that. Is just picture a balloon that's inflated, like a water balloon, and if you squish it on one end, it's going to bulge out on the other end. That's what a Yagi does for gain. So if Yagi's got, say, let's say it's got maybe 6 dB gain, but that's created by that directionality. So it's not a double whammy. So it's but that's how it sacrifices other parts, is by giving up gain to the size. Sometimes you want that. You want that directionality. You want to reject things on the side. So you're on track there, Jim. It's just that that's what creates that gain, is by making it directional. Whereas an omni, you get direction. You get the gain in all directions. So, and that would be done with a collinear, which is a stacked dipole, maybe 4, 8, or 16 verticals. That's actually what our repeater antenna is made up as. KF6Q.
Thanks again, Tom. Really, really appreciate that. And, yeah, basically Jim was describing apparent power, the effective radiated power of an antenna, and how you increase your ERP, either by a gain antenna such as a collinear or such as a Yagi, or, you know, any other kind of antenna with a gain. Let's see. We used that at Field Day last year. Nice example of using a Yagi antenna and using the attenuation on the sides versus the gain in the front end of the antenna. As the sun went down, we would follow the sun on 10 meters, and we would, you know, eliminate some of the stations that we'd already worked and be focusing on some of the newer stations that were coming into view as the sun was either coming up or going down on 10 meters. Tom, anything else you can add to that? KF6Q, WB6CLZ.
Pretty much. I mean, we'll get into more of this in the next couple of weeks. This will probably be the last one that I have to bail on you guys. Sorry, Mike, as we're getting everything wrapped up. We'll get into that in great detail. There's so much to talk about, coaxial collinears and the Yagis and Quaggies. So, anyway, but a lot out there, more to cover in the future. KF6Q.
Hey, any other questions or comments? Thanks, Tom. I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm the nuts and bolts guys. We're the electrical contractor. We get it and we actually do it. Tom knows the math, so he can see it on paper, and then I like to put it up in the air and play with it. So that's the good thing. Any other questions or comments? Please call WB6CLZ.
Comment. Romeo Delta again.
Go ahead, Rick, and there's somebody else in there I'll take after you.
Okay, I kind of missed the beginning portion of the net here. Are we sticking with Yagi antennas right now? Because I have made that RG8 coax collinear antenna consisting of 8 pieces of coax, you know, alternating connections. So I'll bring that up the next time if this is strictly for Yagis. NQ7RD.
We could go there. What I basically was doing is giving an idea on a dollar figure versus gain, and we were kind of focusing on the Cushcraft antenna, the boomer antennas, just so we could give people an idea on, well, if they had this much to spend, what are they going to get out of it? But we can either bring that up next time. I'm not really that familiar with it, but if you are and you want to, talk about it for a while, go for it.
All right. Maybe if Tom's still listening, he can maybe answer it. I made the antenna, and this thing is about, 17 foot long, 17 feet. And I was just wondering, on the feet point, a 17 foot piece of coax is kind of limp, and rather than stapling it to a piece of wood, I had a two-story home right now. I'm wondering if I can hang it off, like, the roof and have my coax, go out to the attic, to the edge of the eave, and maybe pushed out of the house maybe 5 feet or something. I do live in an association, but I was wondering if I invert it and feed it from the top, and now the antenna's literally hanging upside down, almost like say if you were to hang a J-pole off a tree and have it at the base and the bottom. I'm just wondering, on the takeoff angle, am I going to be talking to my grass, or am I still going to be out towards the horizon? And what do I do to change that if needed? NQ7RD.
Can you answer that for us?
You handing that over to me?
To that? Yeah, you are a lot more familiar with collinear antennas than I am.
Yeah, the one thing with a collinear, if you build one, and he's talking about building one out of coax, there's a way to flat top them so that they don't go straight up and start going out. But if you hang them upside down, you're kind of looking for other issues to pop in there, and you wouldn't be talking to your lawn, but you will be sending some signal down that way. I mean, who knows? It may bounce up there, but don't recommend that. But it would be a good experiment. KF6Q.
All right. Yeah, that's the name of the game here in amateur radio, isn't it? Do what you can when you can and see if it works. If it doesn't, throw it in the trash and try again. I appreciate it. NQ7RD, standing by and listening.
Rick, thanks for your question. Yeah, that's what we do a lot of. Okay, any other questions or comments for the net? Please call WB6CLZ with your full call and name, please. Okay, well, I guess unless somebody else has something to add, we're going to wind it down. We're going to make it a short one tonight. Tom, thanks a lot for coming in. I really appreciate that. You saved my skin again, and we need you back here. we need the straight skinny, and we do what we can, but hurry back. Tom, over to you for any final comments. KF6Q, WB6CLZ.
Okay, Mike, good deal there. Yeah, what we're going to do, too, later on this year, and actually coming up pretty close here if we can get some good weather, have start up where we left off last year, and we're going to build some Yagis. We'll build some 3-element, 5-element, possibly a 7, and some lucky guy will get to take it home. So, anyway, back to you, Mike. Yeah, I've got to get back to work here. I'm getting some scuff here from the boss. Yeah, she's getting out the whip. Thanks again, though, thanks for doing the net. KF6Q.
Hey, Kay, I want to personally thank you, Kay, for letting us borrow him for a few minutes. We really appreciate that. Now, crack the whip, Kay, and get him going, but you better feed him, too. Okay, thanks again, Tom. One more chance. Any questions or comments for the net tonight? And then we're going to shut it down. Please call WB6CLZ with your full call and name, please.
86PL, Harold.
Harold, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, just an exercise in futility. Could you in detail explain how to build that 17-element Yagi 86PL?
I probably could, Harold, if I find a website and go to it and name it, name the distances of the elements and the names of the elements and the spacing and all of that, but give me your email and I'll send that to you. That's about as far as you're going to get out of me tonight, Harold. Back to you.
Okay,
Okay, I just threw that out there. Stirs up some. One thing, though, if you can get some of the better, older antenna books by the old pros that built these things, and a lot of them originated or added to the original information, there are charts in them. And they, all you have to do is very carefully read the instructions and then use those charts, and you can build your own. And it'll be just as good as anything Cushcraft builds, or maybe a little better if you're careful with your work, and cost you a whole lot less money. 86 PL.
It's definitely correct, Tom. Yeah, Tom, Harold. We have had a couple of antenna workshops, and yeah, it is pretty easy to build them. The aluminum is readily available. You know, we've even years back built Yagis when I was a kid out of coat hangers and broomsticks. So yeah, you know, you can do a real good job, and there are instructions out there. I highly recommend the antenna manual. Got a lot of information about building, and golly, if you get up to Big Bear this spring, this summer, later on this spring and summer, come to a couple of our antenna workshops, and you know, you'll see how it's done. We sit there, we actually build them right there and put them on the air, run them through the antenna analyzer, and let you see what they're doing. So you know, that's something that's worth your driving up to Big Bear for. And as Bill will, as Jim will attest, we get some pretty good grub going too. Anyway, any other questions or comments? A couple last times, and then we'll close her down, guys.
Yeah, KJ6KDL.
There's our Chili guy. Yeah, go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, Chili and now Gumbo. Yeah, I was just about to ask the same question. Did we want to just touch on the fact that this stuff is easy to build, which you just covered, and could it be done cheaper than a store-bought, which we just covered and previous classes have proved? HamUniverse.com has some pages on building various antennas. I haven't found a 17-element yet, but there is a 4-element Yagi for 6 and 2 meter. It's called a coaxial Yagi. So that's what I was looking for the flimsy one, to see how people make that thing not flimsy. And I'm just screaming through this one page without actually reading it too much. They say it's supported on a 1 1/2 inch OD. Let me pull out my ham radio so I get the alphabet correct. That's Oscar Delta tubing. So I was thinking something PVC, so I don't know if that's similar to that. But they've got this thing supported, supposedly coax, but it looks stiff, and they've got measurements. So if you can do a 4-element, I'm sure you can get it bigger. KJ6KDL.
Thanks, Jim. Roger that. Yeah, it's just an the matter. Your driven elements there, it's just a matter of adding more reflectors to it. And basically, there's Shore Metals down here in Orange County. There's lots of online sources for the aluminum. Very easy to get and pretty reasonable. You can build them a lot cheaper than you can buy them pre-made, and come up with some better stuff, better matches, and all kinds of things. Okay, well, I think that's going to do it for tonight then. And hopefully Tom will be back next week, and we'll go and we'll start getting into some nitty-gritties and pick another topic. Just remember, you know, you can have the best rig in the world, and if you don't have a decent antenna, you're not going to do anything. Antenna is probably 70% of, you know, amateur radio. You have to have a good antenna to get out there and work a lot of stations. Although some simple will always get you some contacts, a good antenna is the way to go. And we preach that over and over here on Tech Tuesday. Okay, well, I'm going to, let's see. First of all, if you have any questions or comments for future topics, we're always interested in that. you know, Tom and I have to dig up topics here. There's tons of them that we need to talk about, but if people are interested in them and email us, you can email Tom at kf6q@arrl.net. You can email me at wb6clz@arrl.net. And if you have a topic or something you'd like to discuss or any comment or anything, please feel free to do so. So anybody have anything to say, and then I'm going to shut her down tonight.
AG6PL, real quick.
DB6CLZ with the Tech Tuesday. No, you don't have to be quick, Harold. Go ahead.
Well, what it is, I was going to give you a name of a couple of books I purchased. Bill Orr, O-R-R, is his last name. I think he's passed away now. And the name of the book is Bill Orr on Directional Antennas. And he has detailed information in there, and he has the charts. You can calculate out to two or three wavelengths on any band. And Joseph Carr, and I know he's passed away. He passed away about 3 or 4 years ago, I believe. And his books are extremely good books. They're some of the top stuff. And so that would help you out. Anybody that's looking for information on this kind of thing. How much snow did you get up here? 86 PL.
Oh, I'm down here in the flatlands. I'm in Placentia. But let's turn it over to Jim and see. He's in Sugarloaf. So what, Jim?
No, we're not too far from the post office in Sugarloaf, and we got just short of, what'd you say, dear, about a foot and a half-ish. And when I got to my office, which is off of Knickerbocker and Big Bear Boulevard, we had right about 2 feet of snow in the parking lot. So that was a lot of snow. It really added up. And those piles, man, they were 4 feet and going when they piled them up. KJ6KDL.
Hey, Bill. Okay, Jim, and I understand we have a little more to come, too, so stand by for that. Yeah, thanks again, Harold, and thanks, Jim. I appreciate that. And thanks again, Harold. Yeah, Bill Orr, W6SAI was, as I was growing up in ham radio, was, you know, always had articles in QST, always very interesting articles. Worked for IMAC, the tube manufacturer, and had a lot of background. So, yeah, I think he did quite a bit of work on the original 1296 DX transmissions. Let's see, he did some tropospheric ducting work and, yeah, quite a bit of DX work. So, yeah, very, very knowledgeable person, and he is, yes, a silent key, has been for a number of years. So, but a lot of good information, a lot of articles still written by him that are, you know, the cornerstone of ham radio. Okay, well, one more chance, and then we're going to shut her down. Please call WB6CLZ. Name is Mike.
Yeah, K6YNW here. Yeah, Bill Orr. They had really good books about interference, too, K6YNW.
He's got books on myriads of topics, I mean various topics, very, very knowledgeable person. I believe he was an electronic engineer, you know, just top-notch ham. Never worked him, but read a lot of it, his articles as I was growing up in ham radio. Hey, well, we're going to shut her down. I'm going to hang around here for a while. If anybody needs anything, then I can help them with. But otherwise, QST, QST, QST. This is Mike, WB6CLZ, acting as net control for the Tech Tuesday Net. Closing the net at 1938 hours, which is 0238 Zulu. And returning the repeater to normal use. I'd like to thank everyone for listening in and participating, and hope that you can join us again next week. WB6CLZ, clear.